Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in.
Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. Happy new week. I can't believe basically Q1 is over. January, February, March.
Oh, that's crazy.
So crazy. I feel like this year is already flying by. I still have to do my taxes. So this is your reminder.
If you haven't I'm picking up my taxes Monday, I think.
Oh, nice. Are they like filed and everything?
Yes. I don't know like what the final verdict is because I had to send over like my car expenses over the phone. So
interesting.
We will see. I'm going in to sign for it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy mine tax season.
I think mine were technically due March 15th because I have an S corp, but we did file for an extension and our tax accountant sent all this stuff over to us on Friday, so we have to review it and then sign it and send it back, and then he'll file it. So I feel like they're almost done, which is nice.
Side note, like, I'm kind of surprised that last year we randomly got an extension until like September in California because of the quote unquote floods. And then this year when we have like actually crazy devastating fires, like there's no extension. I was positive we were going to get an extension in California.
Oh, that is kind of crazy.
Like, why did we get literally months extension for the random floods we had last year? I remember thinking that was good actually point. Crazy.
But yeah, here's your reminder to unfortunately do your taxes if you haven't yet. So, and I think we have a couple, tax episodes.
Could have done a little refresher today.
We could do it next week because I feel like that's the beginning of April. We could do just like a little quick one at the beginning. So maybe we'll touch on that next week. But yeah, don't forget to do your taxes, ladies. Okay.
Yes.
Good reminder. Okay. This week's episode, we're excited to talk about because I feel like we've gotten a lot of questions from our Q&A boxes about this, and we get DMs from you guys as well on our influence community page about just like your personal brand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What is it and how do you do it basically? So we thought we would dedicate a whole episode to this topic. So that's what we'll be talking about this week. But before we dive in, we will just do our updates and our influences of the week first. So for updates, after we recorded our episode last week, I just went to Arizona for it was my sister's birthday, so just a quick little family trip. So drove out on Sunday and then was there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then came back Wednesday. So it was really short. And honestly, the drive is like therapeutic. Like it seems like it's so long, but it's 5.5 hours. I don't know, like personally, I love driving. So I love driving, like podcast on. I save up all my podcasts and then I basically just listen to podcasts the whole way and the drive is over before you know it. So I usually don't mind the drive and I would rather drive than deal with the airport. And honestly, flights are pretty expensive for the amount of travel time that it is. And I feel like it's the same amount of time from like when you leave your house to get to the airport, till you board the flight, to you like all that stuff. It basically adds up to the same amount of time, so might as well drive. And I like having my car with me too because then I can kind of drive and do all the things that I want to do. But celebrated my sister's birthday and just visited with family, visited my grandma, which was nice. And I think that's pretty much it. Met up with a friend for dinner. Oh, I highly considered getting tickets to the Kelsey Ballerini show in Phoenix. Because I think it was Tuesday night and I thought about it. I was so close, but I was like, oh, I just don't have time. And my dad, of course, was like, why didn't you tell me? I would have gone with you. And I was like, ugh, I could have gone, but it's okay. She's amazing. So if she's in your city, go see her because she's so good. But yeah, so I got back Wednesday. So that was like a quick family visit, I feel like.
Well, that I was like trying to look at my calendar. I'm like, what did I do like Monday through Wednesday? Don't know. But yeah, I don't really have many updates. I guess on Thursday I went to an event in LA. Didn't get a plus one. Went by myself. Was kind of nervous.
Thought back
to our episode. And had a good time. Like sometimes it's like fun just not knowing who you're gonna meet at random other met like other girls who also were by themselves for a little, and then like as the night went on, girls I knew were there and it was really fun. But actually, like I feel like this was a good week. Like I feel like we got to work with some dream brands, kind of like the next day on Friday night we went to a Prada event, which was very cool. Obviously that's like we've talked about on the podcast, that's definitely designers. One of our dream like collab brands. Even just to be invited to an event with them, that was really really fun and cool. And you know, you can just save the contacts and reach out
and like build the relationship there. And that was cool. They redid their entire, well basically they moved their entire store at Fashion Valley in San Diego, completely moved locations in the mall to a different spot, and then obviously remodeled and redid it. So they had this huge like grand opening event. So it was really fun and everything was so cute. So yeah, that was super fun. And then this weekend and this coming week for me, I am just working on my Summer Buns launch coming up. I'm aiming for Friday this week, so hoping to get everything ready to go for that. It's just a lot of admin stuff because it's like getting the website ready and just like inputting all the details on the back end for every single listing is a lot. So yeah,
that's exciting.
Coming up though, I'm really excited about it.
Really cute stuff.
I feel like this is also my influence of the week. Basically, it's just my Summer Buns rebrand in general. So I had the branding completely redone, like different color palette, different fonts, different logos, essentially. So I felt like I kind of outgrew the old branding and I wasn't as passionate or excited about it, which made me not excited about the brand basically. So I was like, okay, time to revamp, time to redo it. And so did that. And I'm really excited because I feel like it's a little more elevated and chic, which is more me. And so I hopefully will be launching that Friday, but TBD. I just don't want to feel rushed, so or like put pressure on myself, because in the past I have done that before and I would literally be up till like 2 a.m. uploading like listings and getting like a website ready because there's so many just little things you have to input. So I'm like, okay, I feel like Friday is a good amount of time to get everything, and then obviously do all the marketing materials, like emails, socials, like all that. So it's just kind of a lot to do, but yeah, I'm excited. So that is also my influence this week. It's just the rebrand, and I feel like it's so cute and chic, and I'm excited about it, which makes me happy. So
yeah, you guys are gonna love it. It's like perfect. Like I feel like you're gonna drop this at the perfect time when people are getting ready for their vacations and stuff.
Summer vacays. Yeah.
Yeah. Cute.
So yeah, that is my influence. What about you?
Okay, my influence, I guess, is I really have been loving doing nail art, but also like doing different colored nails. It's so funny. Whenever I go in to get my nails done, like I have to make a note of what exactly is going on each nail, or else I get so jumbled because I don't know. I don't like to copy the exact photos on Pinterest. Like I just feel like it's fun to put your own twist on it, but then you don't actually have a photo for it. So you have to like describe your vision. And it took me like so long to write this down in my notes of like each single nail, what was going on each. And so I did like a pastel girly version of like, not, I guess it's not really Coachella nails. It's more so like festival-y summer vibe nails, but I do have a cowboy hat on one of my nails and it's really cute. So
do they like freehand draw that, or like you have to show the picture of like what,
and she just draws it, to look it.
Like or yeah. like does she just like freehand completely?
Yeah, she just like, well, yeah, she copies the photo. I don't think that I could be like, I want
A cowboy
a
hat.
cowboy hat. If I didn't have an inspo photo, I don't think
Got
she'd
it.
be able to do it. But she did look one up at one point, like a cowboy hat outline. So
Okay.
I feel like maybe I could have
Cute.
told her. But yeah, I think they're
They're
really
so
fun.
cute.
And I feel like I get a lot of compliments when I have different color nails. Like for some reason, I always love when girls do that. I think it's just like fun and like you put a lot of thought into it. I don't know. So especially for this time of year. So
yeah, I feel like it's really good
that's
for like spring, summer.
Yeah, it's like just really cute and fun.
Cute.
So yeah, that's my influence of the week.
Yeah. And we were literally just talking to that festival season is basically 2 weeks away, which is so crazy. That
oh my
it's
God, it's so crazy.
Up because I feel
I
like
need to put my outfits
we kind
together.
Of have a busy week this week, and then it's literally the next week. So
yeah,
crazy. Got to plan for that. I feel like for the most part, I have my pieces. I just need to put them together and accessorize. And yeah, I can't tell.
Yeah, I need to put my stuff together.
Need to check the temperature and what that's going to be like to make some final decisions.
Like, are you doing cowboy boots? What's the shoe vibe you're going to have?
Shoe vibe? I just like don't know because I feel like this literally happened last year. Like, we don't know if we're going to Stagecoach or not. So then that changes the vibe. Whereas, like, if we're not going to Stagecoach, then I would like to mix some Western in for my Coachella outfits. But then what happened last year is we actually had no idea we were going to Stagecoach because we found out at Coachella and I did all my Western outfits at Stagecoach. And then I had to completely do more outfits for actual
Stagecoach.
Oh,
you mean you did them?
Or Coachella,
you did
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm trying to like decide, but I think right now my outfits, I think I'm probably going to mix. I have those combat boots from Steve Madden that are the Miu Miu dupes that I love.
Oh yeah. Those are really, are they comfy?
Yeah. They're like flat and like, yeah, I
okay,
think
I
wore
I
them
like
all day.
Of
one of the Stagecoach days. So there's that. And then I also kind of have another pair from Tony Bianco with not as many buckles. So they're a little more like,
hey, cute.
I have a lace skirt, and if I wear all the buckles, I'm nervous the lace is going to catch and rip on the buckles. So for that lace skirt, I might wear cowboy boots because it'll just no buckles on the boots. But
yeah, I feel like a little hack for festival shoes, especially with boots, is like getting a half size up.
Yeah,
because if they are even slightly snug, like you are
or
not
like
going to
if
last.
You're sweating and rubbing, and there's no room for like movement, and you're really rubbing on the inside of your shoe. It is so uncomfortable, especially if you're going into the festival. Because last year was actually my first experience going in, and that walk from the parking lot,
it is
like
brutal,
all the way down that path.
You guys.
I'm just like, this is not necessary. Like, why are there?
No.
Like, that is crazy that you have to do that.
And there's no way
walk.
Around it. I don't even think, like, I don't even think the VIP or whatever has access. I mean, maybe they can take golf carts all the way in. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like a really crazy walk, honestly.
And on both sides, because we tried parking on both sides to see if it was different, and it was not. So yeah, that part is crazy. So if you are going in, you definitely want to be comfortable for sure. So I feel like that's kind of my vibe right now, but we'll see. I need to,
okay, good
I
to
have
know.
It all in
I
my
need
head.
To plan
I need
this.
To execute it onto paper.
Yeah.
And like,
same.
IRL, basically. So.
Same.
Okay, well, I feel like we can talk more about this too next week as well as it gets closer. So, okay, next week you need to take notes. We need to talk about taxes next week, just real quick.
Yes.
Taxes and festival stuff we'll cover a little next week too. Okay, but for this week, we will dive into how to build your personal brand and kind of how we approach it, what we do, and that kind of thing, I feel like. And I feel like, again, it's like always evolving and it's not something that happens overnight, which I feel like is important to know. So, okay. What is a personal brand and why is it important? And I feel like we talk about this all the time and just having a personal brand. And like for me, when I think about it, I kind of think about like, if you think of certain brands that you love, whether it's like social media or wherever, you just like love these brands. Like, actually sit down and think about why. Why do you love this brand? Like, do you love the brand's aesthetic? Do you love their messaging? Do you love their branding? Like, do you love their product? Like, what about that brand makes you love it so much? And like, what makes you pick it over others? I was actually listening to another podcast on, it was the Skinny Confidential. I don't know if it was recent or not. Sometimes I pick random ones. Let me see if it was recent. I think it honestly was. So yeah, it's, let's see. Let me pull up my podcasting. Okay. Okay. Not like, okay. March 12th. It's Sarah Brooks on branding strategies. Every brand needs to survive, grow, and stay relevant.
Ooh.
And she was talking about how she is so fascinated by consumer choices. And if you like go to the store and you go to, for an example, the kombucha aisle, and there's like 50 kombucha brands, like which one are you buying and why? And like the science behind that, and like why people make certain choices, and like what about it? And she did a whole case study, I think, on Halo Top. And they talked about how,
cool.
Yeah, they talked about how when people eat a pint of ice cream, they don't want to have to eat it in servings. They don't want to think about it because like, why are people eating ice cream? They're either celebrating something or they're like really sad about something, you know?
Yeah.
So when you eat it, you just want to eat the pint without having to think about it. So Halo Top went from like not being in one of the top ice cream brands, and they completely changed the branding of the outside of the packaging. And nothing about the ingredients, like nothing on the inside. It was all outside branding. And they just put like however many calories were per pint, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they made that switch, they became like one of the top ice cream brand sellers in grocery stores or something like that. So I thought that was so interesting. And it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
And I feel like it kind of made me think about things too. But I feel like a good start when you are thinking about your personal brand is thinking about other brands and like why you love them and what about it, and actually kind of sit down and brainstorm, like, if you love the branding. Like, for me, when I love certain brands, I feel like it's the branding. Like, I love good branding. I love aesthetic branding. So it's like, if a brand has good branding, like, I'm down, basically. Because we have so many choices these days. And on that podcast, they were talking about too, like with Amazon, like you have to find, you know, a need in the market and then figure out why you're different. So
kind of like
applies to social media and our personal brands and all of that. So taking kind of what you love and why you like certain brands and then applying that to your own online persona, I feel like could be really beneficial, because that's basically like your online identity and like how people are going to remember you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like how you truly come to that moment of like what you are known for. And I feel like we've talked about this before, and I've talked to girls when I do my mentoring, is like, they always are like, how do you find that thing that you're known for? And it's like, you just have to do so many different things until something sticks, or something that you really love that you want to keep doing. Or maybe it's like a series we've talked about, like, just you have to keep trying things until something that you like, something like positive happens and you like it, and then you keep doing it and you keep doing it, and then you become known for that, basically.
Yeah. And it's honestly sometimes, a lot of the time actually, like, you don't even know you're doing something and your audience will tell you, and then it just sticks. So yeah, like you said, just trying out a bunch of different content. I feel like that's the fun, beautiful part when you are starting out, because, or even if you're like reinventing yourself, like just trying anything and a bunch of different things to see what sticks. But yeah, it's also having that thing, what you're known for, it helps you stand out in a very saturated market and industry. Like, I feel like there's a lot of copy and paste versions of like certain people, which is totally fine, but I feel like people will really pick up on that. And I feel like people can really sense who's being authentic and who's not. So yeah, I think it's really important to stand out, especially right now when everyone's trying to kind of be a content creator. Like, why wouldn't you? There's so many benefits and ways to make money, and the industry can be really, really awesome. But
yeah,
there is a lot of people right now.
Yeah. And I feel like it could honestly be anything. You could be known for your aesthetic. Mm-hmm. You could be known for your voice, your values, like a certain activity that you do or a specific type of content you create or how you edit or just a vibe in general. Like it can truly be anything. And I feel like for both of us too, it definitely did not happen overnight. It was a process that was years in the making, truly years. And again, like Danielle said, it's not something that we were like, okay, this isn't going to be my thing and then I'm going to run with it. It was more of, okay, we're trying out all these different things. We're testing these things. Oh, my audience is responding really well to this. Let me keep doing a little more of that. Oh, it's going really well. I'm going to do even more of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like this thing. My audience likes this thing. This is now my thing, basically.
Okay, wait. Do you remember the moment that clicked for you? Because I feel like I remember. Wait, do you have one?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is honestly funny because mine was on TikTok and it actually wasn't on Instagram.
Okay. Share the story.
It was, I posted this video. I don't know if you remember. It was at the
row. I remember exactly what you're talking about.
Down the stairs and I'm wearing a blazer. Mm-hmm. And I just like put the text on the screen and was like, when you finally found your perfect style or like your branding or whatever. And it went viral because there were so many people in the comments being like, oh, this is so boring. Everyone looks like this. Like people like this isn't your style. Like, I don't even know the comments. It was like a bunch of different stuff, but mm-hmm. there was obviously way more positive comments in it. Like, love your style. Like, love this so much. Like, love how you styled this blazer. Like, and I was wearing like a beige blazer with a baseball hat and like sweatpants, I think. And I don't know. I feel like just that moment for me, because I feel like when a video goes viral, you kind of sit there and think about it sometimes. You're just kind of like, why that one? Like, what about it? Mm-hmm. Like, you just kind of like think about your feelings towards that video. And so I think for me, that was kind of the moment where I was like, okay, I'm leaning into this kind of elevated street style aesthetic because one, mm-hmm. I really liked it. And two, my audience responded really well to it. And it was just that like, like a chic blazer, a baseball hat, sunglasses, and probably my New Balance sneakers, I would say is kind of like the more signature. I could wear boots too, but with the sneakers as part of that. And so I feel like ever since that moment, that's when I like really leaned into it and kind of was like, oh, this is my thing. And then that led to the like slow-mo walking videos that like drop, like hit mm-hmm. slow-mo on the beat. And then that like kind of grew into its own thing over kind of like a year or so. So I feel like that's kind of the evolution of that moment. And when I kind of was like,
oh my gosh, cool. I didn't know it was that video that like made it click for you. I think
that's where it was like when it actually clicked. And then that's when I was like, okay, I love neutrals. Like I'm not forcing color anymore. Like I'm just going to like stick with this. It makes me happy and my audience likes it.
Yeah.
So a perfect combo.
If you scroll back far enough on Alyssa's profile, like really far, you'll see the color.
Like actually every color, which is so crazy to me.
So crazy. Oh my God. When we went to Hawaii in 2021, I think.
Yes.
We were like fully wearing color. Bright so colors. Cute.
And like it was so cute at the time and so fun. But I just like
feel but then so you like found neutral. Yeah. You found so. What Yeah. stuck for you and like what is your personal brand.
And I think too, when it's your thing, you don't really care what other people say about it because I feel like people say like, oh, I'm so tired of like the boring beige aesthetic. And I'm like, that's fine, but I still love it. And that's still me.
Yeah.
And like, that's what
my and that's what sets be. People apart. The people who like don't hop on all the trends and the people who like stay in their lane, stick to their style mm-hmm. because then your audience can just trust you. Like they're never, you're never going to stray from that. And people like know to go to you always.
Yeah. What about you?
Okay. Mine was, it's so funny. Like, again, it was not like planned ever. Like backstory, I guess. I literally am not kidding. I used to wear pink every single day in middle school. And then I started getting made fun of for it. And like, just, I felt like everyone thought of me as like the ditzy, like, I don't know. And so I stopped wearing it. And then specific, okay, fast forward, I want to say probably also in 2021, a brand sent me a pink purse that was like my, it ended up being so iconic because this pink bag, I would wear it as a pop of pink in some of my outfits. And that it would specifically, those photos specifically performed really well. And everyone would comment on it. And then I started matching things to this bag. I would have so many matching elements to the bag that were pink. And like, it kept, like, I could tell my audience like really loved seeing me in it. And I loved styling this bag. Like, oh my God, this is like my favorite bag ever. And I think that's when it stuck. Like, I literally, from that day on, I kind of tested things out just to see like what the vibe was. Like, I would go back to like not wearing anything pink and it just wouldn't do as well. And I feel like people really put me together with like pink. So now it's kind of like evolved into more of like a feminine, girly way of living, which I love. I feel like I'm a very feminine girly. So it's very seamless and I just love how it's evolved. And I loved that, honestly, my audience helped me find my own style because also it was really healing. I feel like I like healed that little girl in middle school who wore pink every day, but then she got made fun of. And then I told my mom, like, I don't want to wear pink anymore, LOL, because little stupid boys would bully me. And here I am. So love that. That's the story.
And I feel like as an outsider watching, I feel like you were one of the original like pink.
Yeah, it's really crazy, honestly. Into
it years ago. And obviously it's having its moment now. And there are so many accounts that really lean into pink. But I feel like from an outsider viewing and seeing a bunch of different accounts, like you were one of the first. So
yeah, I know it is. It is kind of crazy because I feel like when I did first start with this thing, I think when you first start with something like that, like it can feel really silly. And I remember thinking like, do I want this to be my thing? Like I only wear pink. Like, is that weird? But I kind of was just like, whatever, I'm going to keep going with it because I really love it. And it worked out. So if you have that little thought in your head, like maybe you know what you want your thing to be or what you want your personal brand to be, but you feel silly about it, honestly, I think that's when you found it because that probably means it's very unique and organic. Like I truly did not see any other pink, like crew, like account, like girls who only wore pink really and styled pink and like that was their thing. I never saw that. So like that's why I felt silly. So I think if you do feel silly in the beginning, like you're on the brink of something. Yeah. Keep going.
Sure. But again, it didn't happen overnight. It was kind of years in the making, lots of trial and error and testing to see what you like, what your audience likes, and finding that middle ground of finding what you both like, you know.
Yeah.
To be able to sustain. So yeah, those are kind of our stories, I guess, to how we found our things. I feel like it's always so interesting to hear.
I know. Now I want to hear like everyone's stories, how they found their thing.
Like, can you guys submit your stories when you found your thing?
Yeah.
And if you haven't found your thing yet, don't worry. It is out there. It is on its way. Come. Keep going.
And it can be something so simple.
Yeah. Like, I remember the first time we noticed things being a thing, basically, which sounds so funny, is this one girl that we followed. She wore the same pair of Abercrombie jeans in post, and she had coffee every post. And she was like popping off, and we're like, okay, that's her thing. And then we realized, like, people don't care if you post similar things all the time, because we were at the mindset back then of like, okay, we have to post new things and new locations and new outfits all the time. And she was posting literally the same thing basically all the time. And we're like,
and okay, her audience loved it.
Loved it. Yes. So we're like, okay, let's try this then. Like, let's try to post similar things. And then I feel like that's kind of when we started finding our things basically. But
yeah,
so super interesting. And also, I feel like it's also about the journey too, because I feel like if we didn't have our journey defining our thing, we honestly wouldn't be where we are, if that makes sense too. So I feel like there's an appreciation aspect in the journey as well. So if you are struggling or you're lost or you feel like you don't have a thing or that like people don't know what your thing is, like it's okay. Just embrace the journey. You just kind of have to go through it basically until you find your thing. So, okay. Moving on from that part. So then the next thing is just getting clear on your intentions and your quote unquote why for creating content. So asking yourself these questions, what type of content do you want to create? What do you want people to feel or experience from your content? Who are you creating content for? Mm-hmm. And I think just being clear on these things will help shape a consistent brand narrative for yourself and your content. I feel like these are really good questions to sit with because I feel like it really forces you to kind of create a strategy or some sort of business plan or something. Because sometimes I feel like for me personally, I just kind of want to like freeball it and just do whatever, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can definitely do that. But I think if you actually sit down and I honestly think I need to do this for myself personally now. I just want to sit down and just kind of pin or save on Instagram different outfits that I like just to kind of get the vibe and the direction to really, I feel like it's just a good way to help bring your thoughts to life basically. And then you can get the clearer picture to answer these questions of like what types of content and like what do I want people to feel from my content or what I want them to experience. Like, do I want to be someone that they're coming to for blogging advice? Do I want to be someone that they come to for, you know, neutral outfit inspo? For obviously other categories, like, do you want to be known as like the makeup girl? Like, whatever it is, it can be anything, but like being able to sit there and ask yourself, like, what do I want people to feel or experience? I feel like is a good question because I feel like for your content too, I feel like that's like a really good example. Like what would you say you want people to experience from your content?
Yeah, I feel like I recently have gotten so much clarity from this and it has really, really driven myself forward with being super clear on what I want to create. Like I feel like this was kind of an unintentional. Sorry, there's like literally a fighter jet flying across my house right now and I can't even hear myself think. Okay, I'm watching it go by. Okay, for example, for me, and it doesn't have to be crazy or anything. It can be so simple. Like, I'm creating content for females who are probably like anywhere from, they can be teenagers to like in their 40s, okay? And I want to create like a feminine aesthetic vibe to my content that makes other women feel inspired or that they can embrace their femininity more. Because I feel like in society, you know, that's a conversation for a bigger thing. But I feel like in society, we do feel like being super feminine means you're not taken seriously or whatever. But I think it's also But I think it's very powerful when women do lean into their femininity and live like a very soft and creative, flowing life. So I feel like I love when my content can really inspire other women. It can be as simple as that.
Like an inner child aspect too.
Oh my God. Yes, totally. It's like I'm actually living for my inner child and you're so right.
So like I feel like I'm inspire other women.
Yeah. Like, yeah. To heal their inner child, and you can play when you're in your late 20s and your 30s, like even older, and we don't have to like grow up and then not wear pink anymore, be like young and girly and fun. Because I do actually get a lot of comments sometimes when things go viral about, there's this whole other narrative that I see on other girls who like also post girly things, that you are something about infantilizing, and I don't know. So people are talking about how you're like dressing up like a little girl and it's weird, but I just, the girls who get it, I don't
your
know,
your insecurity is projecting hard.
Like it's interesting how other people can like take what you're creating in the complete wrong way, but it wasn't meant for them anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say, also on some of your content, it's so crazy how men are so offended by the color pink. Mm-hmm. Like it's so crazy because it's just like, First of all, this content wasn't even made for you. Second of all, like, you didn't have to leave a comment on it. You could have just
No, I know. I had one.
So it's like, why are you so bothered by, like, pink? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's funny who you can offend when you are creating very authentically to yourself. Yes. But I also just don't read the comments anymore, honestly, on anything that goes viral. And that's a little pro tip. Like, don't read your comments if you go viral, because you probably will get people, like, very negative people hating on you. But anyways, yeah, if you want to just take a few moments to yourself, like, sit in a quiet space, maybe journal a little bit, answer the questions Alyssa just said for yourself, and just, like, really think about how you want to move forward with creating content. Because I just know the things that are out of alignment when I'm creating content, and I just don't do that anymore because it doesn't feel very authentic to my brand.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a really good example and just a good explanation, so people listening, for the girlies listening, can, like, understand, like, what we're talking about. You know, I feel like I'm a very example type of person and a very visual person. So if I, it's, like, so funny. I had this session with my therapist and she was, like, trying to get through to me so hard, and it was just, like, not clicking. I was struggling.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next day she sent me 5 different graphics over text message, and she was like, here's 5 explanations of blah blah blah, and, like, sent me these graphics on text message. And I was like, oh my god, thank you so much, like, this actually clicks, because, like, I'm a visual learner, you know what I mean?
Love that. That's sweet of her.
I know, so nice. Love her. But yeah, so just kind of help you guys kind of visualize or hear, like, actual examples. I feel like for people like me, that helps me learn. So if you guys are similar, hopefully these specific examples can help you guys kind of process what we're saying. So
yeah,
again, just getting clear on what type of content you're wanting to create. What do you want people to feel or experience from your content? And who is that ideal person you're creating for? And yeah, I feel like writing it down doesn't hurt. Like, describe your ideal follower, I guess, like, age, demographic, like, who they are, what is their job, like, what do they like to shop for, and, like,
this is what actual brands do.
Yes, yes. And it's like, yeah, you are a brand also, so you have to do these things for yourself too to get clear on the vision to help your personal brand come to life. So jumping into some core brand elements next, I feel like this is said a lot on social media, and I feel like it's kind of controversial, so I'm excited to hear your thoughts on this. But defining your niche, I feel like people are so split on whether you should, like, niche down or not. I don't know. What are your thoughts on niche? Because, like, for me, I think I believe in the niche. I believe that you should niche down to a couple, like, core pillars, you could say, and then kind of build off that. And then once you kind of grow more and you build your community, then you can kind of branch out and do a lot of things. But I think initially having a niche is so, so helpful in terms of finding your target audience and your target demographic. But I feel like a lot of people don't agree with that in terms
Definitely agree with you, especially if you're starting out. I think, yeah, you'll hear both things, but really, like, how are you supposed to find your people if you're not niching down to specific things? Like, people aren't going to know you for a specific thing, and you're just going to kind of blend in with everyone else in those different niches. So if you are starting out, I definitely think you should niche down. You could even do, like, 3 niches, but don't be too, like, just don't be everywhere, I'd say, but, like, ideally it's 1 or 2. Like, fashion, beauty, honestly. I think it's really smart when girls are in this industry and doing, like, fashion, beauty, fashion, lifestyle. Yeah.
Well, and home, they relate, food, too. You know? Yeah. Like, if you're doing things that relate, help. But I feel like it's mainly on TikTok where people are like, oh, you don't need a niche. Just, like, post whatever.
And, you know, like, maybe you don't on TikTok, but...
honestly, I do not follow... Truly, I don't think I follow anyone who doesn't have a niche. Like, I don't
actually, you're right. I don't think I do either.
Posts random stuff, random topics, random categories, like, random like, it could be anything. I don't, like, follow anyone like that. Okay, I follow people with a niche. Like, I follow people for a specific reason, whether on TikTok it's a beauty girl who kind of looks like me, has like dark hair, dark, like same complexion, so that I can like buy the products that she uses, basically. Like, I am following her for that. If she posted a recipe, I would not care. Like, that is not what I'm there for.
Right. You
know? Which is fine. And then like, if there is someone who has a recipe that I like, then I will follow that person
For recipes
specifically. Yeah. But I don't
think
really
that's how most
like,
people are.
Anyone who's like all over the place and I follow them, I feel like it just makes more sense that when you get to a point and you have a, you know, kind of a larger dedicated audience, then to kind of branch out into all of the lifestyle things, because then people kind of follow you for like you and your brand and your life. But I think you have to get there first. You can't just really jump into that.
Yeah. I feel like the vibe is niche down if you want a dedicated, engaged audience. And then if you're creating random content that's kind of all over the place, like, yeah, maybe you might go viral, but it's not giving engaged audience. Like, it's giving random followers that are probably going to unfollow you down the line because they didn't even remember what they followed you for to begin with. Mm-hmm. That actually does happen to me a lot on TikTok. Like me following random people for something and then they're just like not consistent at all. And then it's like, wait, I don't even know who you are. So I feel like that really is the psychology of a consumer. But if you are more established and you want to like break out of a certain niche, I think that's fine, but like be consistent with the content you want to break out of. I don't really see a world, like I don't see the whole not niching down thing. Like, I feel like no matter what, if someone is successful in this, like they have some sort of a niche and it might be three things, like might be three or four even, but like people know them for something.
Yeah. And then it like expanded after the fact. I agree, but I think it's a controversial topic. I don't think everyone agrees with our stance, and I think it's really interesting because
I want to see what they have to say.
Instagram girlies, but I've seen like chatter on TikTok and like people are like, you don't have to niche down, just like be consistent and post whatever you want. And like, I just
I do see that. But then again, it's like, okay, you'll go viral and people will follow you, and then but like 10 videos later, they're not going to remember why they followed you.
With TikTok, I think people say like people don't actually care who you are on TikTok. They just care about what value or what information they're getting out of you. They're like, so what is someone getting from you on TikTok?
But like even the people who aren't niched, quote unquote, that are like funny and talking about random stuff, like that's their niche. Like they're like, funny and talk about random stuff. Like they're skit actors and like they do like there's always a niche. I don't know.
I agree.
I think the psychology also behind that is like people like to put you in boxes. That's how they like digest you. Like people want to put you in a category in their head so they can remember you. So you're not
and
like
I think people
around.
Do that without thinking about it. So it's not like they're trying to do that on purpose. It's just kind of what our human brains do to, like you said, process. So, okay, good points. Yeah. Okay, the next one is identifying your audience and who you're creating for. So what we basically just talked about is writing down your ideal audience, what they look like, and what kind of emotions or things you're trying to convey with your content and something that they would want to consume. But yeah, we just did a deep dive into that one. So then the next one is elements of a just like having elements of a consistent aesthetic and just type of content that others can remember you for. And again, anything.
It is, for me at least, when I think about this, it is in the smallest things that I don't even think that the creator is actually thinking about, or at least it doesn't appear like they're thinking about the little things. But like, oh my god, my favorite girls and my favorite aesthetics are the smallest details that people put into their content. Like it could be they always have cute nails. Like, you know, I'm always going to remember that. It's they always have the cutest nails. They always have the cutest little bags in their stories, or they always have like this color and it makes me feel calm, like pinks and light blues, like pastels make me feel really calm. So I really like this creator because it's always like, I swear, in the little things, like even how your mannerisms, the way you talk, like, and then if you can like identify that for yourself, like staying consistent with that, I think would really make a difference. Like I could literally name a few girls off the top of my head that have the cutest little aesthetic, and it seems like they don't even try, and it's always in their stories and in their content. And that's just... that's like I don't know. I guess if you don't want to be curated, that's a whole other story. But
yeah,
I guess this is like a really easy way to find someone's aesthetic and personal brand. But even little things like colors you use on a consistent basis, fonts. I feel like story fonts are weirdly really important.
Yeah.
Very, very important. I feel like if you are using crazy fonts, you're in a different box in my head. Like, I swear to God, I'm sorry. But like, if you're using crazy fonts and it's like hard to look at, like, I don't know. I think psychologically, I'm removing you from like the really aesthetic calming vibe to like at something else.
Yeah. Giving but I think too, like the font thing is crazy because people, I feel like, don't use random different fonts all the time. I feel like people pick a font that resonates
with them. You gotta stay with it.
Stick with that font.
Oh my God. Then... also, emojis. Emojis are huge, I think. I seriously think that I would argue this is one of the most important things, and people might not think about it, but in my head, emojis and being consistent with like your vibe of emoji is so important in my head. Like, I will categorize you and like notice that aesthetic and your personal brand.
So funny.
do you do that? Like, I wonder if that's a common thing. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I use the same
neutral
colored emojis.
I freaking love emojis.
Yeah. And I think too, like, that's a whole other discussion as well, is like aesthetics. Like, people can deny all day that they don't care about aesthetics. Like, aesthetics don't matter. They don't want to, whatever. But I truly am so on the side that aesthetics matter and that people subconsciously respond to really pretty aesthetic things, whether they realize it or not. And so I will never think it's a bad thing to have an aesthetic, truly. And I personally love aesthetic things. Like you said, like, pastels make you happy. Pretty aesthetic neutral things make me happy and calm. Like, that's like what makes my brain tick. And so I feel like there's like always, I think people just say things to be clickbaity or to just create controversy.
No,
or
but
whatever.
Like, the thing is, the people that don't have an aesthetic, that's their aesthetic. Like, that is literally that their aesthetic is not caring, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess you could argue that with everything, and maybe we do just truly like box things into aesthetics. But I feel like most people do.
I agree, honestly. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that's a controversial topic. I think people would argue against it. So to each their own. But we think aesthetics, I don't think they're going to hurt your branding. They're not going to hurt your personal branding. I think they're just going to help you. So it doesn't hurt to have them. And if you have one and people are like bashing on it, just like ignore them. And I will forever be an aesthetic girly, and I just like aesthetic things. I follow aesthetic accounts. Aesthetics make me happy. So it is what it is, you know? Okay, next one is part of the core brand elements is letting people connect with you. So just being your authentic self and being authentic to yourself, sharing your personality in a way that you want to, and you can share more about your life to help shape your personal brand if you want to, because it helps people relate to you. But also, I feel like you don't have to if you don't want to. Like, I think the cool thing about social media is we do get to decide what we want to share and what we don't. And some people decide to literally share it all, and that's great. And some people decide to keep things for themselves or keep them private, like maybe their relationships or whatever. And I think that's great too, because when you decide what you want to share, then again, that's what you're known for. So if you never post your significant other, which is literally 100% okay, then people just aren't gonna see you as like, you know, posting like couple content or whatever, which is fine. And it's like, we all don't have couples who are like into social media, who want to be on social media, who like being in front of a camera, who want to be on camera. And like, that's fine. Like, that doesn't have to be you, especially if you follow a creator who shares literally everything, shares their relationship, shares their parents, shares their family gatherings. Like, that's so great. And like, kudos to them. But just because someone else is doing that, I feel like it's important to remember that doesn't have to be you as well. Like, you get to pick what you share. I know people talk about, oh, the highs and lows of social media. We don't, like, people don't share everything. Like, I truly believe at the end of the day, you get to share what you want. It is your profile. It is your page. You get to decide how it's viewed and what you share. And I think how you decide to do that, mm-hmm. then that's what your audience gets to know. It's like, yeah. I feel like when people share everything and then all of a sudden they stop sharing because of a breakup or whatever, like that's just, I feel like, a big example that's common. Mm-hmm. Then people are like, oh, how come you're not sharing your breakup? You used to share everything with us and now you're not. Like, I get the confusion there, but I think, like, at the end of the day, share what you want to share regarding your personality, your personal life, kind of those things. And, like, again, that contributes to your personal brand as well. I feel like I follow creators who are, like, full-on married, have kids, and they do not post them on their pages.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not like, where's your husband? Where's your kids? Like, what's going on? I'm like, that's not what I follow this person for.
Yeah.
I follow her for her style, and that's what I'm getting. So I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like even if you don't share personal details and like fully talking to the camera and whatever, like you can still let people connect with you in different ways, like literally just by the shared love of your aesthetic, honestly. And then people really connect with that, like, oh my mm-hmm. gosh, I love, you know, feminine things and I want more of that in my life. Like, that's something that I feel people would connect with my profile on. So it doesn't have to be this thing where you're like actually sharing every detail of your life, because mm-hmm. I feel like I've been through like both. Like, I feel like I tried to do that and I don't think it feels very authentic. It also can be really draining. I guess I don't know if, hold on, I don't think authentic was the right word. It doesn't feel, well, I guess authentic to the content I want to be sharing.
Right.
But you go through waves, and sometimes maybe later this year I will want to like share everything. But yeah, I think it's just different.
Yeah. Whatever you decide is totally fine. You don't have to feel pressures that you have to share everything mm-hmm. or that you have to share specific things about your life because you see other creators doing it. Like, you can define your personal brand with like just you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah.
more than enough. Okay. And then the last thing for this is just your bio. I feel like your bio is the first thing that someone sees.
Oh my God. I like profile. Recently, I love a bio. Like, I love a bio. I don't know. I think I like recently changed mine and it's like so simple, but so cute. And I'm kind of obsessed because I don't know. I just feel like bios are so cute and they can really, really tell a lot about you. And I love when people have like little one-liners. Like, literally, I just put girl world on mine and I just feel like that simply encapsulates every single thing that I create. Is like, and I love the phrase like girl world. Okay. So just like something really, really tiny like that. And then I had someone text me that they loved that. And I was like, wow, I didn't really think much of it, but like, I think you would be surprised with how other people perceive little things like your bio. And I also really like when girls have like their discussion, what are they called? Broadcast channels. I honestly need to make one, but I love when like little broadcast channels, like they have like phrases that are, like in, they're really like authentic to the creator's branding, and it can just be like little phrases they say. I don't know. I just like, I love a bio.
Yeah. And bios, I think, are really important to your personal brand and just something that you should spend the time mm-hmm. curating, I guess could be the word. Because again, you are a business and this is a good place to let your audience know who you are, but also let brands know who you are.
Yeah.
And having, you know, your little one-liner or whatever you want to come up with
mm-hmm.
or you're just your description, you know, having your email. I feel like the email is so, so important. I feel like I always see mm-hmm. so many people on the brand side like posting on their close friends like being like, why do people not put their email in their bio? Like, this is crazy. So I feel like having every single PR person we have talked to and had on this podcast has said to put your email in your bio. So mm-hmm. if your email is not
and
in your bio,
location,
please immediately go add your email to your bio. Yes, location definitely helps, especially if you want to be invited to events or I feel like if you want to be included in certain activations. I don't know. I feel like that's super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then just obviously your links and anything else that you want people to know about you. So like mm-hmm. for us, if you have a podcast or if you have a small business or you just have other pages you want to share, like it's just a good place to give people that initial description about you before they mm-hmm. start scrolling and looking at your feed. So
yeah, it's pretty much like your elevator pitch, like yep. your literal tiny elevator pitch to anyone who like quickly come across as your page, because sometimes the bio will convince me to follow you. You know, I just feel like you can really curate it. Like, even with the emojis you use, like, really think about it, okay? Make it.
Yeah, spend time
to your brand. Yeah.
Thinking about that. Yeah. Okay. And then the next thing is consistency. And this is probably like the most popular word you hear in this industry. And it probably gets boring and tiresome, but it is truly so, so important. And this just goes into like any brand industry, any sales industry, like anything like that is consistency. So it's the more you show up for, wait, hang on. The more you show up, the more you're going to be known for that specific thing or, you know, your personal brand. And it just reinforces it. So the more you continue to do a thing, the more people are going to subconsciously connect those dots and put you and that thing together. So whenever they see that thing, they think of you. Or whenever they say you, they also think of that thing.
Like you're just associated with that.
Yeah.
But you have to be consistent or else people aren't going to get it.
Yeah, the more you do it, the more you commit to it, the more it just reinforces it, and then it becomes the thing. And that's how, like, once you decide what your thing is going to be, then you really have to lean in and commit to it and just consistently do that. Like, I feel like probably like a year or two ago, like, that thing was kind of like those slow-mo walking videos for me. And, like, that was just the thing. They hit. People liked seeing them. Like, it was just good on both sides. Like, I loved them. My audience loved them. So it was like, I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And you'll get to a point where you're like, okay, are people tired of this yet? Is this repetitive? But if you keep going and people keep engaging, like, might as well keep going, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I love when people stick to a bit. Honestly, like, and stick to a certain style of content. And I feel like, again, you're gonna feel silly. You are going to feel silly when you put it out so many times. But I just think it really reinforces your brand. And I really love when people stay with something like that. So again, if you feel silly, like, you're probably on the brink of something.
Yeah. I feel like a good example too is like the targeted ads on Instagram. It's like the more you see that ad, the more likely you're going to purchase it. And side note, I feel like my targeted ads have been so good lately. Like, I've seen so many cute brands and things. Like, I'll actually click the link and then I open it in an external browser so that it's saved in like my tabs basically as I'm scrolling through. But I feel like I'm seeing so many cute things every single day. And I'm like, either these targeted ads are getting so good or like brands are just popping off right now. I don't know. But for me as a consumer, I am very easy to target and influence. So the more I see the ad, if I see something that I like from an ad, the first time I'm like, oh my gosh, so cute. Maybe I'll click it. Maybe I won't. Still scrolling. Then I see it again. I'm like, oh wait, okay, that was cute. And like, now I'll click it and kind of explore, but maybe not buy. And if I see it a third time, I'm like, okay, like, I'm sure they're showing this to so many people. I need to like buy this before it goes out of stock if I really want it. And then I'll think about it a little more. And then if I see it truly seven times, like that saying where like
you're going to get it,
points, like I will probably buy it. So I feel like it's the same thing with like personal branding and your thing and, you know, what you want that to be is like, if you keep doing that, more people see it, the more, again, they connect that with you and that's what you're wanting. So think about it like that with the targeted ads. Like, you're just targeting your target audience with your content that you're consistently putting out there. And I just think at the end of the day, the more your audience sees you in that certain light, the more they will subconsciously see that as your personal brand. So it's like, we're thinking about these things on our side, but the consumer side, they're not thinking about that, but they're being targeted subconsciously and it's all happening.
Yeah. I feel like it's all about the upkeep, truly, because if you stop it, like, everyone's going to forget.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, so it's okay to incorporate new things and different things, but it's also like, try to keep that thing still incorporated with the things that you're also trying to do.
Yeah.
I think as well. Okay. And then just the last thing, benefits to a strong personal brand. I feel like brands you want to work with will keep you in mind specifically to work for like a specific project. Like, say, for example, Like, we actually just got a recent campaign, and it's so funny. It's like a bestie campaign.
Yeah.
And they literally reached out to us directly, and they shared a TikTok video that we posted in literally 2022. And it was just like a funny bestie audio on TikTok. And it still like gets engagement to this day. I don't understand it, but anyway. But they were like, they saw this content, and I think we've also kind of branded ourselves like with a lot of bestie content. So when brands have specific bestie campaigns, they're like, oh, Alyssa and Danielle could be an option. Like, mm-hmm. they're besties. They post content together. They post this kind of stuff. Like, this could be cute. So then it's like brands remember that for specific yeah. projects, which is really cool. Because then you get to work with your bestie and work on a cool project. So yeah. thinking about it like that, or just whatever your mm-hmm. thing is. And again, it just, your account is more identifiable by others and your audience. And then that's what's going to set you apart. Even if you have similar content to someone else's profile, I think like if you just keep doing you with your spin on it, then that's what people are going to remember you for. When you find, and that's why yeah. the details matter.
Yeah, that is why the details matter, because I feel like it's so clear if you're copying someone's little details. Like, it's like yes. the little quirks that make you different.
If you're copying like the big picture, like the overall theme, then mm-hmm. like whatever. But then when it comes down to the details, like that is what's setting you apart. And mm-hmm. then people know, like, are they copying? Or are they just being inspired? Like, what's going yeah. on here? So I feel like the all in the details is like what's going to really benefit you. And then also your audience knows what to expect and to go to you for specific things, which is really great, because then your growth is going to be more sustainable that way. And people, I think, can just tell when you're being authentic to your personal brand versus forcing something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you force something, you feel it yourself, and it just feels kind of icky. And then you're like, why did I do that? And then yeah. I think your audience kind of feels it too. And it's just like not the best feeling. So just staying authentic to your personal brand, and it will also just position you as an expert in that specific niche that you pick, whatever niche that is. If you just, the more you do it, the more people see you doing that, then they relate that to you. And then they're like, mm-hmm. okay, if I ever need this, if I ever need like ideas for pink outfits, like I know I can go to Danielle.
Yeah.
Like easy peasy, you know?
Yeah. So then like people will just for that. Look you up. Yeah. Yeah. I also feel like when your audience is doing that, like your growth is inherently way more sustainable, and you can, like, I feel like you're kind of always going to grow, slash your engagement will generally be pretty good because your audience knows you for a certain thing. They're coming to your content for a specific reason. And I think you just build more of a loyal following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And there's always going to be those ups and downs too, or just kind mm-hmm. of yeah, transitional of periods. But in general, yeah, I feel like that's
just more of a, I guess like in general, just more of like a loyal mm-hmm. following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just having that strong personal brand will just lead to a strong community, which I feel like brands are starting to really, really value. I feel like that's kind of the next thing in influencer marketing, is brands really leaning into creators with strong communities. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's always a good thing to focus on, always worth putting your time and effort into. And if you're, at the end of the day, if you're just building stronger trust and a connection with your audience, that'll just lead to, like we said, higher and more sustainable engagement over time. And I think brands are really going to value those communities, especially I feel like brands have started hosting more community events versus influencer events, because they really want to get, you know, their consumer involved, which I feel like is really smart. And so mm-hmm. if you are a creator with a community, brands can really lean into that, because then you guys can partner yeah. and really like engage both communities, because they're probably similar. So I feel like it, yeah, never hurts to always be, what's the word? It just left my head. Like, not curating, but like, oh, cultivating. Cultivating mm. your community through your personal branding and who you are and what you're trying to convey and share, and showing up as your authentic self, so that people can build that trust with you. And one thing I don't think we really mentioned, but I think just another thing for your personal brand and community is being responsive to your communities, answering DMs in somewhat of a timely fashion, responding to comments from your community, just staying engaged. Because I know I used to follow creators who, like, I would love their content. I would leave comments on their posts. I'd be like, oh my gosh, such a cute outfit. And I would like DM them on their stories since they posted something that I liked. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, where did you get this skirt or whatever? And they would never, ever respond. And I just remember that made me feel a type of way. And I was just kind of like, okay, this girl never answers DMs. Like, why am I here? Why am I engaging? Why am I sending questions? Or I'm just going to stop sending questions because I know she's just not going to answer them. And I feel like that's not what you want to be known for. Like, you want your audience to be able to trust you so that if they're like, hey, you know, what was that thing you posted the other day? Can you send me the link? Like, they don't feel awkward asking you that because you're not going to respond, you know? So just creating and cultivating that as well. But is there anything else you want to add to this?
No, I feel like we really covered so many points.
Yeah, and I feel
I loved talking
kind of
about
just shared
this.
Our journey and how we've kind of created our personal brands. And I feel like I'm kind of in a phase where, like, I kind of want to change mine a little bit, not too drastically, just like, no, I feel like we've kind of talked about it, but just like more, I think I've mentioned it on the pod too, like, I'm just like not in my crop top era anymore, and I feel like I used to be, like, and that used to be like a thing, and I'm just like not into that anymore. So it's just kind of changing my style a little bit. Like,
I mean,
yeah,
I think
little...
you are very chic.
Yeah, well, I've been, because I've been slowly like not wearing crop tops on purpose too, just because I'm like, okay, trying to like realistically think, like, this is what is currently going through my head is like, okay, I'm 31. I feel like the 31-year-old girlies in the real world are not wearing crop tops. You know what I mean? In the creator world, on Instagram, it's like cute and fun. But if I'm trying to kind of target maybe realistic people, like not in the Instagram world, you know what I mean? I kind of want to have those things in mind. So I want to wear things that are a little more maybe relatable. Maybe it is girlies going into the office who want to style some neutral pieces or just like be really chic. So it's just like, I don't know. Those are just kind of thoughts that go through my head.
Yeah.
But that's just an example, basically. So yeah, but always evolving and reevaluating things constantly. But that's all part of your personal brand.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I feel like this is a really good episode and just kind of really got into our thoughts of how we do things and how we see things. So I always think those kinds of episodes are really interesting.
Same.
And I love listening to other podcasts that kind of do the same thing as well. Another really good podcast, I think, to listen to, like, kind of someone's perspective and their mind is Remy Bader just went on Khloe Kardashian's podcast.
Oh, I still need to listen to that.
It was a really good episode. I think, like, just her thought process and really understanding where she's coming from, it's just, like, so crazy because you obviously don't see that on Instagram. Like, you don't get that from, like, the posts and stuff. So I always just love, like, hearing people's, like, thoughts and reasoning and, like, why are they making certain decisions and, yeah, especially from other creators. So, yeah, that was a really good episode. But to wrap up this week's episode, do you want to share our listener of the week this week?
Yes. Our listener of the week is Alyssa. Her handle is A-L-Y-S-S-A-S-T-E-L-L-A-T-O. She is a absolute stunning queen. But she actually shared a story with us over DM, if you want to take it from here.
Yeah, I think it's just a really quick story, but she just wanted to kind of help educate the other girlies if people didn't know this. So,
which is so sweet.
So sweet and so nice. Yeah. So basically, from what I'm gathering from our conversation, is she had a TikTok account and grew this TikTok account, and she was a listed under creator. And when she started making money from that account, she switched over to business, which I feel like, I remember Instagram used to be so confusing about, like, what would be a creator account, a business account, like all that. I think they definitely try to make it more clear now, but she switched her TikTok account from creator to business when she started making money, probably with the thought that like, okay, I'm making money, I'm a business now, which makes sense. And I guess her TikTok account got taken down because of the music aspect of that. Because when you're a business account, you can't use normal music. You have to use the royalty-free or the like copyright, non-copyrighted music, because businesses are usually driving sales and promoting products. And if you are going to use normal music, you have to pay licensing fees for that. So I think for some reason, when she made that switch, it like flagged her account basically for having all the not right music, and so she lost her TikTok account basically. I think they just took it down really without any warnings, and so it was just kind of like a PSA just to your, because then I don't think you can really go in and change your audios either, so I don't really be better if you do need a business account to just completely start a new one, but never. So yeah, just a PSA to not change your account to from creator to business if you are making money. The creator account I think is totally fine to have on both like TikTok and Instagram. So she just wanted to share that because she said she wished she knew that sooner. And it could definitely help someone out there. So I feel like that was so sweet, so nice, and not something that I really actually thought of. And I could definitely see where the confusion is on that. So yeah. And then she also recommended a potentially doing like an episode on account protection, like backup plans and verification for content creators. So I feel like that could be a really good topic to kind of dive deep in. Things that we do. So yeah, she just said like literally the next day with like no warnings her account was banned, and it was because of the music being flagged. So yeah, learn from her mistake.
Oh, that's so unfortunate. I'm so sorry.
I know.
Thank you, Alyssa, for sharing this story.
So nice. If anyone was kind of questioning or unclear, just a little confused, that is good to know. Don't switch to business. Stay a creator.
Yeah.
And that won't happen. So thank you, girl, for sharing that story.
Yeah, shout out
to you. Definitely important to know because we don't want to be losing accounts. Okay, well, that is a wrap on this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening. Also, I just realized you can leave comments on Spotify podcasts. So if you guys want to comment on our episode, leave a comment, say hi. We'll respond, and we love you guys. Hope you have a great week. Hope you, oh my gosh, I can't believe how to, I hope you had a great Q1, and I hope you have an amazing Q2.
Yes.
And it's festival season. Spring is here. Summer's on the way. I feel like vibes are high. Vibes are good. Send you guys the best vibes this week. So we love you, and we will see you in our next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.